Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday episode 18. If you've been able to watch any of the previous episodes, then thank you so much for your support. I loved last episode's one with Sasha. I just thought it was such a relatable and real talk. So if you haven't watched that yet, go check it out. So I'm by myself today, and I really wanted to actually hone in on this topic. I've alluded to it a fair few times on previous episodes with guests, but I've never really spoke about it in solo. And I put a reel up on my Instagram page about like how couples recover from the newborn trenches and are able to kind of like save their relationship when they have a baby. And I've never actually spoke about it in detail, and I feel like I really am now in a healed place where I can talk about the ins and outs. And I obviously put up the question box on Instagram for you guys to write into, and it is by far the most popular one. So many entries, a lot of people saying the same thing. So we will go through those as well, pretty much from the jump, because I'm not going to talk all about me. I just kind of want to talk about in general. Now, obviously, like when you talk about coming out of the newborn trenches, it sounds like negative. So I just want to start off by saying is that I know not everyone goes through relationship struggles when they have a baby. Everybody's journey is really different, and people suffer in a sense on different levels. And there are also lots of positive stories of how couples do, I guess, really well. I'm doing quotation marks if you're listening to the audio, when they have a baby, and it's all just, it's all okay. Everyone's journey is different and unique in its own. So if you're watching this and you're maybe pregnant or thinking about growing your family and you are scared it's going to be all negative, it's not. I know there are lots of really positive stories about how people adapt and grow with absolutely no problems. And I honestly think even the stories that have the struggle are beautiful in their own way as well, because everybody's journey is different. But I guess more naturally, this is going to be leaning on not negatives, but more of the struggles and kind of talking about my experiences and how I can help, and also like everybody else's. So I think naturally we'll kind of talk about when you are pregnant. And for example, like if I think about my pregnancy, which was like the hardest time of my life, and then my friend's pregnancy, I'm just like hypothetically talking about a friend here, who has a really amazing pregnancy, i.e. no physical issues like sickness, nausea, or whatever, migraines, whatever it may be, feels amazing, is able to do life with no hindrance. Like obviously naturally her and herself and who she is and how she feels is going to be a super flourishing. Is flourishing a word? Flourishing. Yeah. I don't know if I just missed. But she's going to be super, she's going to be great in herself. Now, naturally with me, in the complete opposite direction, just being like absolutely comatose and just like a ghost, really struggled with pregnancy, both physically and mentally. So naturally I wasn't me. I could, as I said, I could barely get out of bed, let alone feel like I could add value and put into my relationship in that sense. I think I had a lot of resentment towards pregnancy in a really weird way. And I know that sounds quite bizarre to hear, but I was like, I thought this is meant to be like magical when you grow a baby. I thought this is meant to be a time of your life that you like really treasure. And like, I honestly couldn't wait to see the end of it. So I think I had a lot of like resentment, and mentally I was really like angry at the process because I wasn't able to even enjoy 1% of it. And that to me was really hard when like 10 months of your life is quite a negative place. And a lot of people wrote in saying that they feel their partners don't understand how hard pregnancy is and how taxing and actually how much it takes. And I also hear that. I felt at times like in my relationship, I thought to myself, does he actually know how hard this is? And does he actually know really what I'm going through? I'm really good at like closing people off. And that's something that I've learned to like not be really good at, because you don't get anywhere with that. And I'm really good at like putting up walls to everyone. And I was quite good at that in my pregnancy as well. But I found that really difficult because I was not myself. I was this whole new person, I guess not in a positive way. And I was really struggling. And I did feel at times, I was like, I wish they knew how hard this was for me. And I wish they knew like how taxing this feels for me. And I think a lot of people wrote in feeling that too. And resentment is such a heavy feeling in both pregnancy and becoming a mom. You naturally resent a lot. And resentment, I guess, is quite a negative emotion. And I think we'll talk about that more as I dive into the topic Tuesday recommendation. But a lot of people wrote in talking about in pregnancy, losing a lot of confidence when you're growing a baby, not feeling good in yourself, clothes not fitting, not feeling like sexy for your partner. Now, I honestly didn't really care about all that because I was like, that's the least of my worries. But I do also hear it, not being able to feel like in your like feminine energy almost, which is kind of so crazy when you're most in that energy because you're actually growing a child, but just really struggling with that kind of like feeling yourself and feeling good in your clothes or what you're wearing. So I really, really hear that. A lot of people talking about losing intimacy, both in pregnancy and the newborn stage, but I'll focus on the pregnancy bit at the moment. Which I also understand. I think it's so different for so many people. I think for a lot of pregnant women, their sex drive goes crazy because all of the hormones. And for a lot of women, it's the opposite. And I think it's just like you have to, when you're going through this journey, you have to like adapt and be quite responsive to the women's needs, if that makes sense, and understand that how it used to be is like it's gone. You know, and when a woman is pregnant, she becomes this new version of herself. And when the woman gives birth, she becomes this totally new version of herself. And you never, when people say like, oh, I'm never going to get the old me back. I agree. I don't think you ever get the old you back, but you become someone else. The woman I was before Ziggy, she's gone. Like that version of me, like isn't, will never come back because it's a whole old chapter. When you have a baby and you become a mom, you create a new identity, you create this new version of yourself, you have different feelings and emotions, you have different hormones, you have different expectations, boundaries, emotions, feelings, wants, needs, desires in life. So you almost create this new avatar of yourself. And when people chase, I want to get the old me back, I think they're chasing the wrong thing because that old you is gone for a reason. You have to create the new version of yourself and what she looks like. And I guess that's hard when you're in a relationship because sometimes I think from a male perspective, they feel like they need to relearn to love this version of you. I can safely say the version of me before Ziggy and the version of me after Ziggy is two completely different people. And I think, for example, my partner in the instance found it quite difficult to navigate this new person me. I became super sensitive to everything, like extremely sensitive, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I don't think being a sensitive woman is a bad thing, but super sensitive, and it's kind of like relearning how I react to things and how I feel about things. It honestly is like a whole new woman, and I think that can be difficult to navigate when you're also tired and overstimulated and overtouched and maybe feeling a little bit of postpartum depression and all of the wonderful things you feel when you're a mom. And I think also a lot of people wrote in talking about like when they're pregnant, and I think this translates into the newborn phase as well. Like when you're pregnant, you, and not everyone, because again, I think it's all so dependent on so many factors, but a lot of women feel and felt like their life changed like quite quickly, as in they felt restricted to do things. They didn't want to do certain things. Whereas like the partner or the guy can just do what they want and like just continue to do their life. And you can kind of build up, as I say, this like resentment and automatic friction. And I think there's got to be a balance between like a guy being, or I'm saying a guy, a partner, it can be whoever it is, the partner being there for you in the way you need them, but also being able to have their flexibility and freedom as well, because you would never want it to become like claustrophobic, if that makes sense. Now, going into when the baby arrives, I think this is where things can feel quite crazy and overwhelming. And again, I think there are many contributing factors. I think the baby and how they are in general, for example, if they're a good sleeper, or if maybe it's a colicky baby who cries all the time, or if there's certain issues or complications, I think there's so many varying factors of what it can look like and what it can feel like. But for example, if I think about my specific situation with having an allergy baby and a baby with eczema, it's like quite intense from the jump. And all those feelings you feel, like the roommate phase, complete zero lack of intimacy, feeling completely touched out, feeling like, who the hell am I? All the hormones to deal with, all the emotions. Honestly, for me, I had complete lack of interest in my partner at the time, because all I could focus on was my son. Going to be completely honest. I had no time. I feel like I had no time really for anyone in my life, because all I wanted to do was help Ziggy because he was sick and poorly. And by the time he would settle off, for example, I would just be dead out. And I think there's so many like varying factors in that sense. I think for me, one of the main things that I failed in, or we failed in, was a complete lack of communication. Your partner is not a mind reader. They cannot read your mind. Like, men are quite useless in a lot of senses, if I'm honest, but like, being able to read your mind is an impossibility. Yeah, they can maybe sense your energy and maybe sense when something is off. But when a woman has a baby, the intrusive thoughts, the feelings, like, they're so intense. I didn't communicate. I didn't speak anything out loud. All I would do is think my thoughts, communicate with myself, and then emit a persona and quite a negative, not very nice person, quite argumentative, snappy, short fuse, no patience. Which, by the way, like, looking back, like, I'm not mad at myself, or like, I don't apologize for in that sense, because I had so much on my plate. But where I did lack was, I was not communicating. Like, how was my partner to know what was going on in my head and all my thoughts and feelings? And it wasn't till you kind of like break and then try and fix yourself that you start to talk, that there forms a bit of understanding. When I look back in hindsight, I'm like, I wish I just spoke my thoughts out loud. What doesn't really change when you have a baby is your partner's love language and like how your partner receives information. Like, that never changed for me. So I don't know why I wasn't able to use that sense of communication style, which I know is able to be received in that sense, like calmly sitting down and talking on the sofa. Don't know why that couldn't happen. I guess I wasn't in any mindset to do that. And it's just like one thing just leads to another. And it's just, you just build on friction and you build on resentment and you build on lack of sleep and you build on overstimulation. Then you just come to a point and you just topple over and fail. Like, when I look back, I think like, I literally felt like I was set up to fail in that instance. I didn't have, and Sasha said this in her last, in the last podcast, it's like, you need to have the tools to be able to navigate really difficult situations. And I really, really hear that. I would say in that instance, I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the tools, or maybe I had them and I just didn't know how to use them. So it was just like a whole entire disaster in that sense. I also think, and this is not excusing men or partners, but men also go, and partners also go through things when the baby arrives. They can also suffer from a form of postpartum or the baby arriving, like depression. They can also suffer from maybe not feeling connected with the baby. They can also suffer from feeling overtired and stressed. They also suffer from these things. And I guess sometimes that can be overlooked because you think about you and what you're going through and what you've been through. I think in my specific scenario, there was a few factors in that sense that we really struggled with. Without going into too much detail, because I'm not airing my partner's business. I air everything of my business. I'm a complete oversharer, but I know where the boundaries are in that sense. But like, we were really struggling with my partner's like working hours and his profession at the time, because it was super unsociable. And I'll be honest, I just felt like a single mom. I literally just felt like I was doing it all by myself, because due to his working hours, he was just out of the house all the time. And with the commute and stuff, it was just like a really tough one. And naturally, like, again, the resentment builds, because it's just like, you're never here. Like, you're never here. And I can't be mad at you for that because you're working. But at the same time, I'm like, how does this setup suit our needs as a family? Because it doesn't. And we had to have some really like raw and real in-depth conversations about that, because it was almost a sense of like, this profession and job like isn't working for this family. And that's quite a serious conversation when we've got a family to look after, and that's an income. And, you know, it's like, but is this working? So I think, again, those kind of contributing factors can really, really affect that kind of postpartum setup. Like, for example, I used to think to myself, like, this isn't fair. Like, why can't I have a partner who works and comes home at 6 p.m.? Like, I would think those thoughts, and I would build so much like anger towards even his job and like the setup. Quite an unhealthy mindset, but it was only natural for me at that time. And I think a lot of people wrote in saying that as well, kind of like their partners being out of the house all the time and like their life just going on. They get to go to work and have like valuable conversations and thought provoking conversations that stimulate them. And then they come home at 7 p.m. and everything's been sorted. And then it goes over again. And it's kind of like that natural, like, well, I can't do that. Do you know what I mean? It's a really difficult one. A lot of people said they struggled with parenting styles, which are not necessarily always spoke about before the baby comes. I'll be honest, when Ziggy arrived, I am a control freak with Ziggy. I'll be honest, he's my baby. And I like to know that. I like to know absolutely everything. But me and my partner have different parenting styles. And I had to learn that both are okay and both are good and both bring different values to the table, but you can't control that person on how to parent, because they have their own, as long as it's like safe and everything, of course, but like they have their own ways of doing something. And it wasn't until now, I'd say Ziggy's 1.5, that actually I really notice how much value it brings. Ziggy's learned so many different skills and understands so many different things when dad's on duty versus when I am, or when we're both on together. I see such a difference. I see different ways, like beautiful things are brought out of Ziggy. But in the early stages, I just struggled so much with the parenting styles, and I tried to control everything, and it was really unhealthy. I think I had a complete lack of trust and faith in my partner's parenting style, because I thought my way was the best way and my way was the only way. And this is me being really raw and like open and vulnerable, but I'll be honest. And so I disregarded what he did. And I think that's just a sad truth of it. And I think I've learned from that. And in another sense, I think my partner would say that he learned so much from me, and how I parent and how he can bounce off that. But I think parenting styles really can be really different, as long as they are safe. I don't know if safe is the right word to use, but I would say embrace the difference, because they bring out different qualities of your child. Someone wrote in saying, I realized even with the most supportive partner, how unbalanced parenthood can be. And I get that. I think everything lands on the mom naturally. And I would say Seth is a very hands-on dad. But still, I feel like so much is on me naturally, but in a weird way, like he's like, I wouldn't want it any other way, because I'm like, that's my baby. I think it's just finding the balance. And I'm still trying to do that now, especially with like work. It's really, really difficult. And it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of conversation as to be like, okay, well, that's not working for me. So how can we change that in order so I'm not so tapped out? And how can I help you with that in order for you to fit that in? It's a constant revolving conversation of how to make it work for your setup in the household. Someone wrote in saying, I'm thinking about starting a family, but I'm really worried because I don't want my relationship to fail. Don't ever let that thought prevent you and stop you from starting that journey. All I would say is, just be wary. No one spoke to me about it before I had a baby, about the struggles that you can go through. Like, no one told me about it. So I went in very naive. And I wish I had someone that kind of said to me, like, look, this can happen. You might go through this. A lot of women struggle with this. This is how I felt when I had a baby. I didn't have that. And I think, again, I went in completely blind. So let me help you. Don't let it prevent you from having a baby, because it's the most magical and beautiful thing. And I couldn't imagine my life without my son. But be wary and be alert and be prepared for really difficult times in whatever way that might be. Someone wrote in saying that I wasn't able to share the excitement of my child with my husband due to my low mood, a little bit of postpartum depression, and therefore creating a lot of distance and pressure. I hear that. I think for me also, I felt that. I think because I had a little, well, didn't have a little bit, a lot. I think because I suffered with postpartum depression, a lot of my excitement was quickly taken away from me because of the dark thoughts that would quickly come in front of that. And a lot of things that my partner, a lot of experiences that my partner would find so much excitement and pleasure in, I would quickly dampen with the thoughts in my mind, whether they be intrusive or, no, you can't do that, or the control freak in me. And then when I do look back, first of all, it's a blur, so I don't even remember. But when I do look back, I do think, oh, I wish I didn't have that and I could have enjoyed that more. But I can totally relate to that. Having a lack of time to spend with each other, yes, you can be complete passing ships in the night. I think since Iggy is born, me and my partner have had 2 date nights, maybe, and he's 1.5. Like, complete passing ships. You do lose that time quite quickly. But for us, we now love the time with Ziggy. And when we're away from him, we miss him a lot. So that's where we find a lot of our pleasure. But I would say, if you're watching this and you don't have that beautiful baby yet, and you're thinking of bringing a baby into the family, enjoy that time with your partner. Like, treasure it so hard. And when you're having that time, like, really immerse yourself in it. Because it's a beautiful thing, and it does go when you have a baby. I will be honest. Unless you have, like, loads of family around that can have the baby all the time, and a babysitter and things like that. Again, circumstances are very different. Sex being absolutely last thing you can bear to think about, I would completely agree. And that is quite difficult if your love language beforehand was, like, physical touch, and you had quite a active sex life, I guess. I felt that completely. I got so uninterested. I couldn't care less about it. I'd say for about 8 months, maybe even more. And I knew why. I breastfed Ziggy for 7 months, and I found that really touched me out. I was like completely, oh my goodness, I was out of touch. And even when Ziggy wasn't feeding, when it came to, like, my partner, I just didn't want to know. I even found it, like, off-putting cuddling, which is so, like, not like me. And again, that can, I think, push the partner away quite a lot. And I really understand it from their point of view as well. And that, again, it needs to come down to communication, and you just need to talk it out loud and really talk about how you feel. And what's really interesting is that when I stopped breastfeeding, the minute I stopped breastfeeding, I felt my sex drive completely go back up, like, after 24 hours. So I do know what my trigger was, I think. I think it was the breastfeeding. And as soon as I stopped, I was like, whoa, it just went sky high. And I was like, what the hell is this? I am so not used to this. And so that part of the relationship that was failing started to repair itself just very naturally. But I can totally hear that. And I don't know, from a guy's perspective, I know you don't have a mic, Carl, so I don't know if will the audio be picked up at all?
Yeah, it might.
Okay. But from, like, a guy's perspective, I don't know, with, like, you and your relationship, obviously I'm not going to go into your business, but how must it feel, like, knowing that your woman is so out of touch and, like, so unavailable? Because I think that's where a lot of things can go wrong in a relationship, i.e. cheating and infidelity, because guys just go elsewhere.
I think especially if communication. That is a major thing. If you're not open and honest about your feelings with your partner, mm. then there are going to be issues. Me and my partner, we are quite open with each other
yeah.
in regards to everything. So we haven't really had that issue.
But did she ever, like, be out of touch?
Yeah, 100%.
And would she just say, like...
I'm not feeling it. Yeah.
Yeah.
100% just say, I'm not feeling it. And I would feel... I'm a man. I'm going to feel a certain way about it when you try to
yeah.
be intimate with your partner.
Yeah. It's like the rejection.
Exactly. It's rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it comes down to. But I think you need to just take yourself out of the situation and just think, she's just had a baby.
Yeah.
Everything's all over the place. And I think that comes with maturity.
I would agree.
The more mature you are, the older you get, the more yeah. you realise, actually,
yeah.
let me try and make things a bit easier for her.
Yeah.
And yeah. there'll be progress there.
I agree. And I had that conversation. I had a conversation with my partner about that, because I was like, when I was in my depths of despair, I was like, we can never have another baby because look at us. And he was like, with the greatest amount of respect, Lucy, like, this is our first time, like, learning and navigating the emotions. Like, we're not perfect. Yeah, we've had a bit of a mare, but like, second time round, you know what to expect. Like, I know what to expect of you. You know what to expect of me in that sense. And like, you have an idea, because as I say, we both went in like with a blindfold on. We had no clue what to expect. We were the first in our families to have a baby, first in our friends to have a baby. We were the first ones to do everything, and we had no one around us to prepare us. So it's like we had to trip, fall, pick ourselves back up and learn. And now second time round, I think you would have an idea of what to expect. But as Carl said, and as I said, you have to communicate. Again, I'd be so out of touch, completely uninterested, but I'd be mute. So in my partner's perspective, he's like, well, she's done then. Like, she doesn't talk to me. She doesn't really look at me. She doesn't want to hug me. I barely see her. So, like, is she just completely out of love with me? Like, you have to communicate, and you have to have really deep, raw conversations that sometimes you don't want to have, but it's life. And yes, you can lose the spark, again, when you're not in the mood. And you don't, I don't want to touch you. Like, I'm not interested. And you've got this aggy, negative energy in you. There's no romance. You will lose that spark if you're in that period and you're going through that motion. Be aware of it. Don't be naive to it. But you can get it back. And I feel like I am, like, an example of that. Trust me, we lost the spark, we lost the romance, we were in depths of despair with our son, we were heartbroken, we were disappointed in each other, we worked so hard to get it back. Again, conversations, deep, raw actions, a lot of showing. I would say change is also huge, so in verbal vomiting now, but like, yes, you have to change. Yeah. You can't be the person you was. Well, I'm not. I'm a completely different person. And your partner, in my circumstance, for example, you have to change. You have to learn a new language. Literally, you have to learn to speak a new language. You have to adapt. If you're not willing to do that and you're not willing to change, that's when you should divorce or separate, because you're on completely different pages. But if you want to be together, you have to change. I firmly believe that. You have to learn to talk a new language. Does it get easier with your relationship when they get older as the baby? I would say in my circumstance, yes, because as Ziggy got older and he healed, he slept 13 hours a night. He, like, life is amazing now. Like, he's a completely healed baby. So for us, we're like, yes, it gets easier when they're older. However, for example, like, my friend did literally just have a baby and he's like a dream. He already sleeps amazing. He's part. So it's like, I don't know if it gets easier when some babies get older, because do you know what I mean? From the get-go, it could be amazing. But if you're asking me, yes, 100%. Someone wrote in, my relationship has completely gone to shit. We've been on the verge of breaking up several times. The reason being is my mood swings, my tiredness, my postnatal depression, different opinion on things and feeling overwhelmed. That was literally me. Like, that's literally my circumstance in a box. So I can completely understand where you're coming from. I would say don't give up, because honestly, when you come out of it and you see the light, I think you will regret it. So just really give it your all before you decide to part, because there is a little baby that will be impacted by it. Living two completely separate lives, one being at home with the kids and the other out working, socializing and doing what they want. So now here is where I draw a line, because this is what I don't agree with. When you have a baby, yes, the mom's life will change dramatically, but I also believe the father has to make sacrifices. And I think this is something that me and my partner had to learn too, and already has changed in that instance. Like, yes, as the father, you can go out after work. Yes, as the father, you can see your mates more. Yes, as the father, you can do all of these things. But when you choose to have a baby, you shouldn't want to do those things. Yes, once in a while, everyone deserves a social life 100%, and everyone deserves to go and release with their mates or go and play football or whatever they want to do. But as a general consensus, your life should change too, because then it becomes completely unfair. Like, I don't understand when guys go out to work every day and then on the weekend go and play golf all weekend. I see it all the time on social media and I'm like, huh? Like, that to me is not cool, because then it really is, you're just leaving the mom to her own devices. And that's where I think the line should be drawn and where conversations deeply need to be had, because I think that's so unfair. I feel vulnerable in my postpartum body and I feel like my partner is going to leave me because I look ugly. No, I don't like that at all. First of all, your feelings are so valid. When you have a baby, you can feel alien in your own body, and that's such a difficult feeling to overcome, because how can you feel alien in the body that you've been in your whole life? But I can 100% feel like those thoughts are just within you and your partner does not feel that. My partner always used to tell me he thought I was so sexy when I was pregnant, like so beautiful, loved my body when I had just given birth. And I felt like a bit of a mess, but I can 100% assure you that your partner will admire you in all your beauty because you just gave birth to their child. And again, have those conversations. It's the same line, communication, communication, communication. You need to talk that out loud with your partner because it will translate. How to show affection when you're just not in the mood. I think this is really important, because when I was going through that trouble with Seth and he was like, you know, there's just no interest. I feel like there's no desire. And I was like, yeah, that's because I'm completely touched out and I have no sex drive. And he was like, yeah, but you don't even like sit on the sofa with me and we don't even like cuddle or like hold hands. And I think affection can look different in so many ways. It could literally be on the sofa, no phones, holding hands. You don't even have to talk that much if you're both exhausted, but it's having that time for your energies just to exchange, going for a walk, holding hands. It doesn't have to be sex. Intimacy is not just sex. It could be your partner giving you a foot rub and then you giving him a cuddle after, or him cooking for you while you sit on the counter and talk instead of sitting on your phone or being in bed. Intimacy translates in so many different ways, and it's understanding what makes you and your partner tick. That was good advice from me. Oh, this is an interesting one. Not having my partner's support around his family not respecting me after birth. That's a really interesting one, and that's really important. And I would say I did feel some of that. Before I gave birth, like, I had boundaries and I had a set of rules. I don't care if people think I'm crazy. It's how I felt as a mom. For example, no kissing the baby on the lips. If you're ill, please don't come over. Don't come over unexpectedly. Don't come over and expect to be hosted for. Don't come over and expect to be cooked for. And unfortunately, I don't feel like my partner was on the same page. For example, when Ziggy was 7 days old, I remember this, like, there's no tomorrow. When Ziggy was 7 days old, this is such a regret of mine, honestly. We thought it would be a good idea to have all family together from both sides and host a barbecue. This meant Seth cooking and preparing all the barbecue meat. He was in Costco, he was in Tesco, he was prepping from like 5 a.m. And I was in a really bad state. I was like baby blues. I was 7 days. I was like, had pain from breastfeeding. Ziggy had a tongue tie. I was in like the worst of the worst. And that caused a lot of problems. I was like, what the hell are we doing? Like, you put way too much on our plates. I remember the fire alarm was going off in the house because the meat got burnt and I was crying and I was, why are we doing this? And just never again. Like, don't put those pressures on yourself. And partners, I am going to say this. When your woman sets expectations and boundaries as a new mom, don't push them, accept them. Like, it's unfair otherwise, unless they're completely ridiculous and like something stupid and that you're really uncomfortable with. But more times she's setting them to protect her, and it's your job to protect her too. So if you push against them, it's going to cause friction. So my advice to you is just accept them. And if I had another baby, I'd 100% set those again. And I would be even more so because I feel like they weren't respected the first time. So I would make sure they're respected the second time because I understand how it had a domino effect on my personal life and my relationship. And I'm not letting that get affected again. It's the arguments over stupid things because you're so damn tired. Oh my God, completely agree. I couldn't agree with that more. I could find a problem with anything in that stage. Like, I was just so, yeah, I could have a problem with everything. And I think it's really understanding, like, I saw a quote and I really love it and it really resonates with me. It's like, my love for you is bigger than this little problem. Like, my love for you is bigger than this argument. My love for you is bigger than this obstacle. So it's like, is this little thing we're arguing about even worth it? And when you think about that, when you're having that argument and exchange, I swear it gets like sorted so quick. It's just really not worth it even having the arguments. And you can argue over like the washing not being done and the kitchen messy. It's like, but is it worth it? Like, just clean it rather than having the argument. Me and my partner really drifted apart and I really resented him. I asked him if he's fallen out of love with me, to which he said he thinks he's had because we argued a lot. I then found out he confided in a girl at work, which then he proceeded to have a 4-week affair with. I found out because I put a tracker on his car and saw that he went to a hotel with her. We've been together for 11 years. He's a good person. No, he's not. And I never imagined him to do anything like this. He says he deeply regrets it and it's made him realize that I am all he wants. He is showing that he is very remorseful, but I'm finding it difficult to move forward. I'm 8 months postpartum. It's a no from me. To me, that's unforgivable. He behind doors has completely disrespected you and mugged you off. Like, trust me, take it from me. I understand it's really difficult. I understand that so much is going to go wrong. I understand you have to forgive probably a lot more than you would want to originally. I understand the trials and tribulations. But when it comes to having an affair, there's no excuse. Carl, do you agree? Mm-hmm. There's just got to be a limit there. I really struggle to understand how you can come back from that. Really, really struggle. Your baby's 8 months old and he's in a hotel with another woman. I can't find any reasoning to forgive that. I think that's where the line is for me. And I would say in my trials and tribulations with what I went through postpartum, naturally I forgave a lot more than the strong, stubborn girl in me would. But I understood how I had to navigate my lane. But if it ever came to my partner doing that, when we're together, I just can't on that one. And I'm so sorry that's happened to you. I believe a man who really loves you wouldn't do that. Someone asked me if I went to therapy when I was going through the struggle. I wish I did. I kept telling myself that I was going to when I was going through it, but I just didn't, because I don't think I had the capacity in any way to even try. And I honestly feel like me and Seth did our own therapy in our own way with the amount of deep digging we did and like soul searching we did in a way. And I think we use a lot of similar tools that I would have had when I was in therapy, but I didn't go to therapy. But as Sasha said in the last podcast, I've referred to it a couple of times now, I think it's a really good watch. I think everybody should have therapy in some sort. And I think it would have saved us a lot quicker if I did. I had postpartum rage and resented my partner for his whole life. I get it. It's such a huge statement, but I get it. I felt a lot of rage too. Rage is something I've never really experienced before, and I still experience it to some level now if I feel a bit like stressed or overworked. And naturally you go for your partner because it's like they're the closest to you. And I think that's in a way okay because they're there to lean on and they are there to support you. But rage is such a difficult emotion to control when it's so new to you as well. And postpartum rage is different, man. It's a whole different ball game and it is really difficult to navigate. But I think, again, what really helps men, and Seth said this would have helped us a lot, is when I go crazy and when I snap, when I realize like, oh shit, that was a bit wild, just actually say it out loud and say something along the lines of this statement of like, oh, sorry, babe, that wasn't actually intended. Or like, I'm not coming for you, I'm just struggling. Or like, sorry, it's not you, I'm struggling in my mental space right now. Like, solved. Sometimes it can be that easy. But I also understand that when you're in that headspace, saying that isn't always the first thing that comes to your mind. And it's not always something that you have the tool, as Sasha said in the last podcast, to readily use, you know? And when you also have that resentment, it's like, sometimes I don't want to say sorry to you because I hate you at times, you know? But I think that would have saved us hugely. And now when I feel those emotions and I am maybe a bit nasty or I snap and vice versa, you know what I've noticed? Like, it's been Ramadan this period. And my partner does fast and I notice a difference in his mood. Like, I notice the hangriness, and a few times he's done a few things where I've said, no, like, I'm not cool with that. And he literally sat there and gone, I'm so sorry. I'm just like, for example, a bit stressed, or I'm actually just really hungry or thirsty. And then I'm like, yeah, cool, no problem. And so I get it. I get how that can be such an easy fix. And I think it is finding those fixes and tools in your relationship to navigate that time. That's so key. Someone wrote in and said, the hormones are wild and it's such a big adjustment for us. I'm so snappy and emotional than ever before. I'm really, really sensitive to any remark he makes. We had a big argument over the weekend over something I'd usually laugh at. It takes a lot of inner perception to realize that maybe you actually are overreacting, and a lot of patience from your partner with the new hormones and mood swings. We are getting there, but it's been a real eye-opener to our communication levels, and we probably needed to revisit that before the baby arrives. That's facts. That's such a good way to communicate. Basically, that lady just summarized my whole podcast in a paragraph. So I will leave that there. I think honestly, the biggest takeaway and biggest advice is that first and foremost, what you see on social media with these pretty pictures and picture perfect families, it's not real. What is happening behind the screens is real and it's genuinely not showed. Don't get caught up. What's happening in your life and the struggles that you're going through and the problems that you're facing, I guarantee you are mirrored across most other relationships. The arguments you are having, it's not just you. There are all different couples around the world going through it as well. Understand what your boundary is as to where you're willing to work to get it back on track. And don't give up if you want to put that work in. I think I would have really regretted it if I threw in the towel. Now I'm in a healed space and recovered. And I think my partner would say the same thing. But let this podcast just give you some awareness. Remember, there's lots of positives as well. It can really grow your relationship. It will grow you as individuals. It will make you better individuals. It will allow you to be more well-equipped individuals. It will shape you beautifully. There are so many positives, but just be aware and alert to the struggles and understand that it's normal. Everyone goes through it and you will get there in the end. Please, if you can, like, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to support the cause. And we'll see you next time for episode 19. Ciao.